Take your Bibles with us. Where do we want to go? Let's do Genesis chapter 2. We'll start there and then we'll run from with that. I thought we was in Genesis 3. We are, but you need to see Genesis 2 to get a hold of Genesis 3 and Genesis 2. I'll get my place and then I'll give you something I forgot to give you. Brother Terry gave me this. Says reunion of some of the former inspirations. Friday, May the 22nd, 7 p.m. Coolamy First Baptist Church, and it's a love offering. And you know, you don't have tickets. It's a love offering, and I'm sure those are still some good people that still sing for the Lord. A lot of them. So that'd be a good. It's May the 22nd, 7 o'clock. So I got that up here. So, and then also I didn't get to talk to them, but Miss Lori let me know that some of our youngins played it. Rockwell today, so it's amazing that our youngins are being used, amen? So that's a blessing too. So, all right, Genesis chapter 2. I sent a few folks that I send emails from time to time. I wish I'd have brought my computer, I'd have printed it out. I'll try to do that, but it was on the obituary of our country, and basically, and some great statistics. Makes you think, let's just sort of see where we're at. And I was talking to Brother Jim, I won't say where I saw this, but in our county, I saw something Tuesday. I was out making some visits and things and drove by. And I almost had to stop in the road to make sure I saw what I thought I saw. And it was a flag, had the stars like an American flag, had the bars like an American flag, but instead of being red and white, it was rainbow. And I thought, where's the patriotism of our country? You know, I was raised, you didn't do anything to a flag. You didn't let it touch the ground. You didn't mock it. You didn't, you know. So it bothers me. It does. We have lost a lot of that in our day, and just the patriotism for our country. And I thought, where in the world, you know? But there you go. So, but hey, the Lord's still in charge. Amen. He's still on the throne. Genesis chapter 2. We've looked. Genesis chapter 3 is where we're actually studying through. But this has to do. We spent two Wednesday nights looking at the great thought of sin. Amen. That's always exciting. But again, I want you to know what sin is. And again, sin isn't drinking a beer, but that is the results of sin. It's not shooting yourself up with some kind of dope, but that is the results. It's not adultery. That's just the results. What is sin? Sin is what we studied and what we looked at. It's the fact that you tell God that you don't care what he says. It's disobedience. And we looked at a lot of the marks of sin, a lot of things that sin causes and different things. And but tonight we're going to look at the phase of sin. What did that there in Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve took of that fruit of disobedience? What was the results? Well, we'll see it here in just a moment. But God told them in Genesis chapter 2, look with me in verse number 17. We'll read this one verse and I'll let you be seated. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. Says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Probably one of the most common verses of folks when they think about death. Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death. Now let's think about what we just said. For the wages of sin. Then that next little word is so important. For the wages of sin is. That's present tense. That's as we stand here tonight. The wages of sin is death. So we've looked at sin and a lot about sin. Tonight we're going to start looking at this topic of death. And guess what? We're all candidates. You're dying as you're standing here. My cousin buried his wife today. 50 years old, had a massive stroke, death's reality. I walked by that casket and I thought about what I was going to be preaching on tonight, death. And now I know nobody in here tonight is excited, woo, we're going to die. That's not usually the jolt of death. But I want to say this evening, I was talking to the ladies Tuesday out here. I don't know what brought this up, but we got talking about death. And Vance Avener said, death, a faithful servant of God. And to be honest with you, if we really believe what we say we believe, now I want to live just as long as you do probably. Some days maybe not as long as that, but we want to live. It's just in us to live. If you don't believe me, go to the hospital. They're full of people. Why are they there? They want to live. We want to live. But if we really understand what this Bible teaches us, death should not be a scary thing to the child of God. So we're going to look at this thought of death and why we're victorious. You know what? You know, the wages of sin is death. You know why heaven's not going to have death? There'll be no sin in heaven. Sin brings death. So let's pray and we'll let you be seated. Father, we sure love you. We thank you, Lord, again, Lord, for the beautiful day you've given us, Lord. And God, just for the opportunities to be around the Word of God. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for letting us come together once again as a family tonight, Lord, around the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand. Give us wisdom tonight. God, let us see things. God, maybe in a different direction, different way. Maybe, God, help us, Lord, to, God, just get a hold of truth. And, Lord, there might be somebody here tonight that's lost. I don't know. Lord, I can't search hearts, but you do. And, God, we're just asking you to touch and, God, draw. And, Lord, I do pray, God, for the needs of the hour. God, I pray for our country and the mess that we're in. But, Lord, I know, Lord, the problem is sin. And, God, I just ask you, Lord, God, to help us to stand true. We're not sinless, I know. But, God, Lord, I just want to hold the truth up. And, God, I want people to see the need of a Savior. And I thank you, Lord, again, God, for what you do. And we'll praise you for all that you do, Lord. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Again here, God warns of what's going to take place. And we know what the devil did over there in Genesis chapter 3. He asked that. He says, you know, what did God say? Oh, you won't die. And that's the thought. But the reality is that God said, ye shall die. Ye shall surely die. Thou shalt surely die. And the moment. And that's the thought of death tonight that we need to understand. The moment that that sin of disobedience, when they disobeyed God, death, will he live? Well, let's bring this out. That was spoken to who? Adam and Eve, of course. But who was the first one to die? It wasn't Adam. It wasn't Eve. It wasn't even old rotten Cain. Abel first tasted of one death. But actually there was another death that did take place that moment to Adam and Eve. And that's the reason when we look at the Bible, you must understand there are two deaths in the Word of God. Adam, and we're going to spend most of our time tonight on the first death because I want you to get a hold of the physical death that, unless the Lord comes back, that you're going to face. But as soon as Adam disobeyed that promise of God, ye shall surely die, that death of separation from God, instantly. Why? Because God drove them out of the garden. So that's that part of second death. And we'll spend a lot of time looking at that probably the next time on a Wednesday night there. But tonight we're going to look at this fact of death, of what it entails, where it's about. Again, there's two types of death, the first death and the second death. Look in Psalms chapter, we're going to turn several places tonight. Look with me in Psalms chapter 116. Talking about death, of course, Genesis chapter 2, we saw the fact of the promise of death. Revelation chapter 20, if you remember back, and we hit on some of this in our study of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 20, there, verses 10, 11, 12 through 14 there, it talks about that great white throne judgment, and then we hear that thought of that second death. So, you know, there is a first death and a second death, but we're going to spend most of the time tonight looking at this first death this evening. But here in Psalms chapter 116, you might have heard this verse somewhere along the way. The Bible says in verse 15, it says, precious is in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Death. Now tonight, again, most of us think death in a way that, again, we're not pleasurable. We're not thinking of, boy, I can't wait to die, that kind of thing. But I want you to get an understanding to us tonight. When you truly understand death, we tonight should not fear death. I think this is what might have brought that, just come back through my head. And we'll see these verses over there in 1 Corinthians in a moment. You know, I think, you know, the best I can tell inside of me, death doesn't scare me. But what scares me is the path to get to that place. You know, I understand that when I die, what's going to take place. But I don't know what it's going to take to get me from now to that place. I heard a preacher one time say, he says, sometimes a heart attack is a blessing. He went on to make me, let us understand what he was saying, because many of us have been there. You've seen it. My mother-in-law was one of those that for years we watched her slowly die of cancer. We don't have a choice. Again, we want to live, and God's left us here to live. We shouldn't, you know, I'm not going to stand out in the middle of the interstate tonight and say, okay, I'm going to die. That's not what it's about. Why? Because we understand that it's in the hands of God. He's given us that timing, and we need to be here working until the Lord calls us home. And but again, death is part of the equation tonight that we need to understand. And again, we see here precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why? Why would that be precious? Well, he's going to prepare a place for us. Why? That we can be with him. For us that are saved, that death is just that closing of this side and the opening to eternity. So death. I hope tonight we'll see more about death to give you a better idea of that death. And again, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. That is present tense. Sin is the payment, or the payment for sin is death. And that's the reason, you know, a lot of people... we talk about the crucifixion, and when you look at all that the Lord's done, and a lot of people don't hook all the things together. Christ took every bit of our payment. He paid that death payment. He paid that being put down in the ground. He took that payment of everything that when God turned his back on, that's that separation. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, took everything that we would have to experience because of sin, that we wouldn't have to taste that death. So we know this evening again that the wages of sin is death. That's the payment for sin. And I'm glad, thank God, that one day there's going to be no sin. And guess what? There'll be no more death. Look in Hebrews chapter 2 this evening. Who has the power of death? Hebrews chapter 2 this evening. Hebrews chapter 2, look in verse number 14. Hebrews 2, verse 14 says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." The Lord Jesus Christ destroyed that murderer, that one, the Satan, that devil. So we see here that Satan, the devil, has that power of death. But I'm glad again, thank God, that Jesus Christ has conquered death, hell, and the grave. Amen. That's the reason tonight that death should not be that scary thing. Why? Because Christ has already conquered that for us that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in Job chapter 1. Thinking of that thought about that devil being the one that orchestrates. But again, the devil doesn't do anything that God doesn't let him do. We need to understand that this evening. The devil, it's not a battle to see who's going to win. It's already won. Job chapter 1 this evening, many of you know this account. verse number 1, and we're going to read several verses here just to get the whole picture. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses every one his day, and sent and called for all for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. Verse 5, and it was so that when the days of their feasting was gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when, verse 13, his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking with their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And Stephen fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another, and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out of 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped only to tell thee. Verse 18, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only had escaped alone to tell thee. I know that's a lot of verses, but I want you to get a hold of the fact. Who did that? God told Satan, you go ahead. And Satan started his work. Death, that murderer. Look one other place this evening. Look in John chapter 8 on that fact of who he is. Talking about death. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, look in verse number 44 this evening. Ye are your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Death. Satan. Sin. But the thing that I want you to understand, for the wages of sin is death. All die. Death, the reality. And again, why do people die? If Adam and Eve had not sinned, death would have never been in the picture. But because of sin, death has been passed down to every man. And because of that, all men die. Why? Because of sin. The good, the bad, the rich, the poor, the young, the old. Death. And again, it's not what they do, it's just the fact of sin. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8 this evening. Death is so sure. I know people say there's only 2 things sure, is that's death and taxes. Well, I disagree with that. You don't have to pay taxes. Look at most of our people in politics. They don't pay taxes. Y'all were supposed to think that was funny, but it's the truth. I'll get there myself here in a minute. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. This is a reality tonight. And again, I believe with all my heart you should take care of your body. Why? Because it's that vessel. You're that tabernacle that the Lord lives inside of you. And you ought to take care of your body. But you can eat all the right things. You can exercise just like the doctor tells you. You can have your blood checked every year. You can do all those things, but I want to promise you, you will not escape death. Why? Because death is sure. Because of sin. Not your sin, per se, but because the reality of sin. Sin brings death. Here in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, look with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, look in verse number 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse number 8. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. You will not, I will not escape death. Hebrews chapter 9 tells us in verse 27, it's been appointed unto man once to die. You have an appointment with death. This body cannot go to heaven the way it is. Why? Because of sin. Sin has a payment. Thank God that the Lord paid my payment. But this old body here is still racked because of sin. And it dies. So no man, the Bible says, again, verse number 8, that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Aren't you glad there was one man, though? There was a man that had power over death. He had a power over life. No man took his life. He freely let that spirit go. Not no man that we know except for the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. So death, you're not going to escape it. Again, my cousin buried a 50-year-old wife today. She was a health nut. Eat right, exercise, did all those things that most people they'd say was healthy. But guess what? Her day came. I don't know when my day is, but I have a date with death. But preacher, does that not scare you? Well, let's look at another verse. Look in Matthew chapter 10. If I was lost, I'd be scared. And again, I don't sit up here and boast. So I ask God when the doctor looks at me and tells me I'm dying, I'm going to smile at him. I don't know what I'll do. I'll probably weep because I'm a scaredy cat. I don't like pain. But again, I understand death to what I believe the Bible talks about death. But I don't know what it's going to take to get me from this point to that place of death. Look here in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Here's what the Bible says, Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. It says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Again, this body, I understand it's just a body. And we're going to see that in just a little bit about what happens when you die. Preacher, nobody knows that. I believe the Bible shows us what happens. I believe I can show you through the Bible what happens. But he says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. See, the thing that we need to understand tonight is the soul that's the most important part of the equation. The body has its place, and I'm getting ahead of myself. The spirit, you're made up of a trinity, and we'll show you that. God's a trinity. We'll see that in 1 John chapter 5. We're going to see us as a trinity. We're made in His image. How's that? Well, that same trinity. We're made up of a spirit, a soul, and a body. All three of those have something in play when it comes to this thought of death. Look over in 1 Corinthians. Most of us know these verses here, but let's look at them so you'll see them. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is what? Sin. That's the reason we looked at sin last week. And after we get done looking at death, we're probably going to look at salvation there in Genesis chapter 3. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason tonight that we can talk about death and realize tonight that, yeah, I'm going to die. Again, I don't know when. I don't sit up here and say that I'm going to be brave until the end. I don't know that. I do know what and several of you have heard me use it before, but probably one of the greatest men in my mind and during the Civil War was a guy by the name of Stonewall Jackson. And boy, what a man of the Word of God I believe he was. And he made the statement of why he got that name as a Stonewall and how he could sit out there in the midst of battle and bullets flying around him, men dying all around about him, everything around him in a chaotic way. How he could stand there or sit there with no movement about him. The reason was is exactly what we're reading tonight. He understood that his life was not his own. He understood that he was in the hand of God, that he tried just to walk with the Lord every day, and that it was up to God to do the rest of it. And that's where we've got to get to. And you'd be amazed how much more victory you would have in your life if you would understand what we just read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. That's the truth. Death, the sting is sin. And the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So death. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 24 this evening. Just to lay the groundwork again of we're all guilty. When you understand that peace that passeth all understanding, you might be here tonight and you're saying, well, I'm saved, preacher, but I don't have that peace that passeth all understanding because you're not letting the Lord win. You're looking at everything about you and you don't understand that my victory, my joy is in the fact that I am in the hand of God. And no matter what happens, I can have victory tonight because of that. And as I told Miss Karen, the ladies tonight, I know this is easy preaching, it's just hard living. But I really believe in my heart if we'd get an understanding of what this is about death and about the importance of what God says about death and what we see in the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ tonight, if you're saved, you ought to rejoice tonight that you are more than conquerors through Him. Deuteronomy chapter 24 this evening, look at verse number 16, I think it is. The Bible says, the father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. See that? It's not about what your neighbor does or what anybody else does. We all have an appointment of death because we're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me show you one more place. Look over in 2 Chronicles chapter 25. Second Chronicles chapter 25. Look at verse number 4. It says, But he slew not the children, but did as it was written in the law of the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. There it is again. Again, it's so easy, and I think about the story, the account there when the Lord was walking by and they see the blind man and the disciples ask him, you know, who sinned? Was it his own or is his father or mother? And I know I'm paraphrasing those verses, but the thought is tonight, a lot of times we think, well, you know, there must have been something wrong in that person's life. You know, they died at an early age. They must have had sin in their lives. That's not what we're talking about. You're going to die when God says you're going to die. You've been appointed a day of death. But the fact is, sin is the cause of death, not the individual results of sin, not the again, sin is disobedience. So I just want to make sure you understand this. Again, it's not because of your children. It's our own sin. We're all guilty. And I know many of us tonight, especially us older ones, and some of these young ones might have, I don't know. Some people try to shelter their children, and I really don't recommend that. You know, death's one of those things. Young people need to learn how to deal with it. And I know, you know, when someone dies, I'm not saying, you know, you shouldn't have remorse. You shouldn't have hurt. You shouldn't have. That's part of our fleshly process. And I believe we're missing a lot of that in our day. I really do. I think there's a grieving process in a lot of people's lives now that's not taken care of. Boy, I'm telling you, the trend of going to funerals a day is hurry up, get it over with. I got life to move on with. There's not much grieving, but I think we're missing a lot of that, what that does for us in that process. You've got to have an escape of some way. But I'm just saying, we need to learn what happens. And I've seen more people than I can even begin to think about die. Death's not one of those things that I'd like to be around. I've seen all kinds of things happen at death. If you want something to read, you ought to go back there and get that book out of the library, Deathbed Accounts of Saints and Sinners, or Sinners and Saints, however, I don't remember exactly how that title is, but something of that nature. There's something happens, and that's the thought on most people tonight. People, death scares them because they don't know what to expect. Death has a process, and I have seen a lot of that process, but the day and time we live in with all the medicines that we have, a lot of people don't see exactly what's taking part in people's lives as they're heading into that gate there of death. And but that book, boy, it'll open your eyes of things that really take place. Buddy, it's interesting reading to see those lost people lay there on that bed screaming, get it off of me, get it off of me, get it off of me. My feet are on fire, my feet are on fire. What's happening? They're dying. And they're not going to heaven. But then there's the other accounts where I can testify. I've never really seen I've seen fear in people's eyes at death. I've never heard them screaming about the fires. But I have seen the other side of that, of godly people dying. And what they see that I can't see. What they hear and I can't hear. Boy, my mother-in-law, when she stepped off of this side of this world into eternity with the Lord, boy, it was just precious. Just the sweetness. She hadn't moved in days. Hadn't set up. Hadn't done nothing. She sat up in the bed and did this. We stood in that room and she says, can't y'all see him? Don't y'all see him? What are you seeing? Oh, it's so beautiful. Don't you see it? We couldn't see it. Her family, in which most of them were lost, says, oh, it's just the medicine. She wasn't on any medicine. My wife had taken care of her. She was basically the nurse. I knew what was going on. They didn't. But what happens when you die? When that transpires, what goes on? Well, I want to show you some things that I believe it'll help us this evening. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians. Let's nail this down scripturally until you understand it tonight. 1 Thessalonians. The wages of sin is death. Death is a reality. 1 Thessalonians this evening. First Thessalonians chapter 5, look in verse 23, I think it is. Yep. Just as we know that God, according to 1 John chapter 5, is a Trinity, and we know that. We see here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're made up of three. You're made up, as the Bible tells us, of a spirit and a soul and a body. When death comes, when that death time comes knocking at my door, what's going to happen? Something has to happen to all three of those beings. Something has to happen to that spirit, something has to happen to that soul, and something happens to that body. Let's look at the body first. Look in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Talking about the body. Here's what we see in Romans chapter 7. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The body. Look over in Romans chapter 8, verse 10. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. This body is dying. This body will go back to the ground. It's made of the dust. It'll go back to the dust. This body, even as you're sitting here tonight, your body is dying. Hopefully you'll take a shower sometime tomorrow, or a bath. Thousands. I hope you took one today. Thousands of cells fell off of you today. Why? Because your body's dying. It's the moment you begin to live, guess what? You're dying. And what happens to the body? The body's dead. It's going to die. It's going to go back to the ground. So it's made of the dust. It'll go back to the dust. What about the spirit? So the body, we know, again, God made the body, made Adam there out of the dust of the ground, and we know that it'll go back to the dust, just as your body will go back to the dust. Again, I don't care who you are, you're not going to escape it. I don't keep up with a lot of Hollywood today. I don't know a lot of the ins and outs, but you can pick whoever it is that's supposed to have been some kind of great glamour person of our day, and they've died. Guess what? If you go dig them up, I bet they don't look good. Death stinks. That body decaying, the process of that body going back to the ground. That's what it's going to do. That's what happens to it. But guess what? We do so much for this body. Look, this ain't what I want. I'm going to get a new one. Why? Because this one's no good. Because of sin. Let's look at the spirit. Look in Acts chapter 5. What about the spirit? You're made up of a body and a spirit and a soul. We see what death does to the body. It's killing it. It's dead. Acts chapter 5. I'll get there myself here in a minute. Acts chapter 5, look at verse number 5. Most of you know this account. It's what happens when you don't give money to the church. God kills you. No, not really. I've heard that preached. I really have. That's not what the subject matter of this text is. What's the subject matter? They lied. That was the subject matter, but hey, let's turn it around and make you feel bad because you don't give money to the church. Verse 5, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all of them that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. Look at verse 7. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. What happened? We have an account of death. What happened? At that moment of death, their bodies hit the ground and they wrapped them up and buried them. Why? Because their bodies are going to rot in the ground. The worms are going to consume them. But something else happened. Did you see it? Their spirit. The spirit was let go. You're made up of a body, a spirit, and a soul. When you die, that body decays. Goes back to the ground. When you die, your spirit, who does it belong to? Every soul, every person has a spirit. And all that, every one of those spirits, all every one of them belong to the Lord. And when every person dies, that spirit goes back to God. Why? Because he breathed into Adam that life, that spirit. So, again, we see that it happens. Look in John chapter 19. Let's see one more person that let go of that spirit. Most of you know this one. This is the Lord speaking here on the cross. John chapter 19. Verse 30. The Lord says, Jesus therefore had received the vinegar. He said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The spirit, the ghost. Go back over to Ecclesiastes. We'll see this in action. I really, really, really like these verses here. These are, look in Ecclesiastes. You'll see right here in just a moment. Chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Look at verse number 18. I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men that God might manifest them and that they might see that they themselves are beast. Well, that's a good thought of who we are, huh? Verse 19, for that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beast. Even one thing befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. What is he saying? Just as foo-foo dies, you die. But guess what? All dogs don't go to heaven either, as Disney thought. How do you know, preacher? Let's see what this says. All go unto one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Just as that dog dies and rots on the side of the road, or that deer dies and rots in the field. You die, I die. Guess what? Our bodies go back to the dust, just like an animal. Verse 21, who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that it is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? Notice there again, verse 21, who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of beast that goeth downward? The body of a beast, the body of man, goes back to dust, but the spirit of man goes upward. The spirit of an animal goes downward. All men have spirits. Not some spooky thing that's floating around out in the haunted houses. Do you believe in ghosts, preacher? I sure do. There's a Holy Ghost. Preacher, what about these visions and stuff? Satan at work. When a man dies, that body is going to go back to the ground. That spirit's going to go back to the Lord. It's not walking around saying, "Hup, I missed the boat. I can't get back." No, that spirit's going upward. These spirits that men see, and I believe people see things. I don't have a problem. I don't like to mess with that stuff. I ain't going to even play around with it. But that's all of the devil. That's those beings that's been cast down. So the spirit. The body dies. It goes to the dust. The spirit goes upward. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Here's the question. Again, what we're made out of what? We're made out of a body, we're made out of a spirit, and we're made out of a soul. The body, when it dies, and again, death is a reality. When we die, the body goes back to the ground, to the dust. The spirit goes back to God. But what about the soul? Let's see what the Bible says. Look here in Matthew chapter 16. Look in verse 24 says, then said Jesus unto the disciple, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profiteth if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he be rewarded every man according to his works. So, the soul. What happens to the soul? It depends who it belongs to. If you've given your life to the Lord, that soul goes to the Lord. But what if a man gains the whole world? What if he has everything in his life and never has Christ? What happens to that soul? Either it'll be in heaven or hell. And without Christ, it won't be in heaven. What profit is there? See, the thought is, what about the soul? What profit is it for the soul? The body goes to the ground. The spirit goes back to the Lord. But what about the soul? That's the part that you and I have a choice in. And I hope tonight you've made a choice to follow Christ. I hope tonight you've asked the Lord to save you. If you're saved tonight, you ought to know, hey, yeah, my body's going back to the ground. Hey, yeah, my spirit's going back to God. But praise the Lord, I got victory in my soul. What is your soul? Look, this body's not who I am. That soul is who I am. The soul is who you are. This is that mobile home that we're walking around in. So, again, we find again that the body, the spirit, and the soul. What happens when we die? That's what takes place. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. We won't take time to turn there. It rains on the just and the unjust. Death is coming to all of us, lost or saved. The thing is, where are your souls going to be? That's the question. One more place, and I'm done for the night. Look at Isaiah chapter 57. And I think this is probably one of those keys. And we've all probably been there before, and I don't have the answers. I really don't. I was sharing with Karen and the ladies out here Tuesday about this, and these verses came to my mind. Death. I don't know why some people live to be 100 and some people don't live past 3 months. I don't know. I don't understand that. I don't know why some people, you know, what we look at an old drunk down the road or a whoremonger or a murderer, a thief, and they live a long, long life. And then we see a godly person that seems to be cut down in their prime for what we think. But is that not looking through the wrong eyes of God? And this is what brought this to mind. I'll show you these verses in a moment. My wife, we found out we were pregnant with our first child. Just maybe a week later, she remembers a whole lot better than I do. She miscarried, and so we've got a baby in heaven. I don't know if it's a boy or a girl. She was, you know, very early in the pregnancy, but still a baby, still alive, still one that went to heaven. And one day I'll get this. Meet that one, I'm sure. But I'll never forget that doctor. Boy, you don't have many doctors like this. This doctor brought us into his office, set us down at his desk. I'd never been in anything like that. You know, my wife was hurting. She had to go through all that process. Some of you ladies have been there. Miscarriages are a lot more tougher on a woman than they are a man. I was heartbroken, but not feeling everything she felt. Well, that doctor set us down and began to talk to us. And I still remember, I don't remember the exact words, but I remember the context of what he was trying to tell us. He said, I don't know why God chose to do it this way, but maybe God just chose to take that little one onto the house because it was going to have to face some things in this world that God said he didn't want it to face. Boy, those rung some sweet words in my ears and my heart, and they found a lodging place. And sometimes what we think is a shortcut life might be God's mercy at work and just decided to take them on out of here. Get them out of this mess. They don't have to walk down this old road anymore. Look here, man. And again, why do babies die? I don't know. But I know God makes no mistakes. Look here in Isaiah 57. Look at verse number 1. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. You see what that says? The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. When we die, we get out of all this mess. When a person dies, is saved, they go to heaven. It's not a loss, it's a gain. That's the understanding tonight I want you to see about this first death. It's not something we should say, oh, death, what a terrible thing. If you're saved tonight, you ought to see it in the eyes of God, through His eyes, and what it is to walk that path. Thank God for Psalms 23. Yeah, we're going to have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah, this old body's got to go through that process of getting us from point A to point B, but the main thing to understand is I'm heading to a place of peace and righteousness. No sin. Why? Because the wages of sin is death, and there'll be no death in heaven. So death. There is a first death. There is a second death. And we'll look at the second death. And that's Revelation chapter 20, if you want to read ahead a little bit. Revelation chapter 20 talks about that second death, that separation from God eternally. Let's stand together this evening. Thank you for being here. Appreciate your attendance.